Parshas Bahalo Yischa, the Torah discusses many different topics. It's really a jam-packed parsha. A lot of very important lessons for life. One of the lessons I think are unique are the Chatzotzeres. Chatzotzeres were these special sounded trumpets. But when were the Chatzotzeres sounded? And the Pasuk tells us they were sounded at two different events in life. One, when we were in distress. When we went to war, when we were under siege, Mishnah says in Tainis, when there's a hunger, when there's a drought, whenever there's a tzara that befalls the Jewish people, we sound off the Chatzotzeres. And then later on, the Torah says, you know, also when you sound off the Chatzotzeres, when things are going well, when it's Mayadechem, of Yem Simchaschem, of Rosh Chachechem. So Rabbi Fram points out, he says, very strange thing. Why are we using the exact same thing? The Chatzotzeres are two very different experiences. One is a stressful time, and one is a happy time. So he points out, based on the Rambam in Hilchas Tainis, the Rambam explains, why do we sound off the Chatzotzeres? The Chatzotzeres is supposed to connect us to HaKadosh Baruch. So he says, both of those events in life, we need to remind ourselves how Hashem runs the world. When things are bad, when we're in a tzara, we're being oppressed, we're under war, we're under attack, Father, we have to remember Hashem runs the world. But often that's more forgotten is when things are going well. When a person is expressing a simcha, it's a Yom Tov, it's a Shabbos, it's a special event. Very often, we forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in that as well. And you're only experiencing this simcha because that's Ratzon Hashem. Therefore, points out, Rabbi Fran, it's probably the most apropos time at a simcha and a tzara, the two opposite experiences, but all come down to the same idea, where both times we're experiencing a specific connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is negative, and you think to yourself, Hashem hates me. No, Hashem is running the show. And positive also. When things are going well, a person also has to remember that that is also coming from HaKadosh Baruch. The Medrash tells us from all the things that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in the building, the only thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in that cannot be used in subsequent generations was the Chatzotzeres. That was not used in later generations. So the question is, why not? Everyone had to come up with their own Chatzotzeres. So the Satmar Rebbe has a very nice understanding. Satmar Rebbe says, what was the role of the Chatzotzeres? A little different than what we just said. It was to gather everyone together. It was to make unity. So Satmar Rebbe says, in every generation, you have to come up with your mode of accomplishing that. Every generation is different. Today, if you want to mass gather the people today, we wouldn't blow a trumpet. We'd send out an email. We'd send out a text message. Right? It's a different generation. It'll be a different blast, exactly. It'll be a blast, right? Very good. So it's an important idea in chinuch, right? That's what I think the whole meeting here today is. All the different speeches are about chinuch. And one of the ideas in chinuch, and this is a mistake people make, is you have to change with the times to a degree. Obviously, we're not going to say, let's do away with everything because we're living in 2019. But you have to at least be aware of what worked in 1970, 1980, and even 2000 doesn't work today. It's a different type of a kid. The world is different. We have to a little bit change. Obviously, we're not saying throw out all the old books and let's just learn on iPads all day, which probably people do that. But I'm not saying that's wrong or right. But in any case, there is an element of growing with the times, and you have to be in tune to the people of the generation's needs. Therefore, says the Satmar Rebbe, the Chatzotzeres wouldn't work in later generations. I should have been the generation to work. Therefore, in each generation, we have to be aware of what is the tool, what is the means and the mode of getting what needs to be accomplished, and we have to apply it properly. I think it's an important lesson for all of us. So we have to somewhat change with the times. Obviously, we don't throw out the old news, but we have to somehow reschedule and rearrange things in our mind to make sure we're working with the new generation. We also have... The Pasuk says that when the Levim were inaugurated, it says, Vayikach HaLevim. The Levim were taken. So Rashi, Kachas HaLevim. So Rashi comments, Kachas HaLevim doesn't mean you forcibly take the Levim. It means you encourage them with words. What's the encouragement? The encouragement is, you're lucky, you're so lucky, you get to work at the Beis HaMikdash. So the first Spinker Rebbe, he pointed out from this Rashi, that he said, it's not only for the Levim that need this encouragement. Whenever you want to be makar of someone, you want to bring them closer to Yiddishkeit, the best way of doing it is with positive encouragement. Oh, you don't know how lucky you are to be a religious Jew. You don't know how lucky you are to keep Torah mitzvahs. As opposed to the opposite way, sometimes people are makar of with scare tactics. If you don't come religious, you're going to go, you know where, and God's going to burn you, and you're going to have a horrible life. This doesn't work. Pukhazi, it doesn't work. You need to have much more of an optimistic approach. And I would add, he doesn't say this to Spinker Rebbe, I would add, Shevet Levi represents Torah. The famous Rambam, the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, the Rambam says, Lo Yishevet Levi Bulvat. It's not only Shevet Levi that gets to be supported by the community and devote themselves to working in the Beis HaMikdash. Anyone who decides he wants to devote his life to Torah, he also will find ways to survive. A very famous Rambam in the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. So when a person wants to refer to Shevet Levi, he's referring to Torah. How do you come close to Torah? You want to come close to Torah? You don't threaten someone, you explain to him how great it is to learn Torah, how beautiful Torah is, how wonderful Torah is, how Gishmaki is a piece of Gemara, how wonderful is a Rashi and a Tosfos, how wonderful is it to learn the same Perek for 6 months straight, right? You give them all the beauty of Torah, and that makes them want to join, as opposed to fear scaring them with a scare tactic. Yeah, there's what to talk about. There's what to talk about with the regard to the whole story of the Hisavsuf. What was their big? What was that story about? I'll just mention very bekitzer. Rabbi Salavitch has a beautiful idea about it. He points out why did Moshe Rabbeinu get so upset from them? This is not the only time Klal Yisrael kind of did something wrong. The Chet Meraglim and the Chet Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go like, okay, Hashem, I'm done. I'm signing off. I can't handle this. What was so disturbing to Moshe Rabbeinu more than all the other chetayim? So Rabbi Salavitch said the difference over here was that this was a taiva based avera. I understand, Chet Meraglim is not a taiva based. You made your conclusion, they made their conclusion, fine. Chet Egel points out salvation was really a desire for spirituality. Misplaced, misguided. So you need a little new education. Get back on track. However, this was merely just taiva. All you want is taiva, forget it. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't deal with you people. I'm not in tune to dealing with this. This is not what I was cut out for. I can educate, I can guide. If you're so caught up in taiva, what am I going to do to change you? You just want taiva, you can spend your whole life chasing taiva. I can't do this. So salvation explains beautiful. That was the mistake of the Bnei Yisrael. So he says, so what was the tikkun? Bringing in the avos. Calling the zakenim. What was the role of the zakenim? The zakenim was supposed to represent those people who mastered, those people who got past the desire and the lust, and they were able to live normal lives, and they're supposed to be madrich b'nei Yisrael on that path. I would suggest perhaps a different idea of what I think the mistake over here was. If we read the parashas, we think to ourselves, what is wrong with these people? What's wrong with them? They have mon. Mon is awesome. You just think of it, and it's there. As a shayla, can it be possible? All these creative shaylas with the mon. But it's awesome. You never have to go shopping. You never have to cook. No refrigerator, no nothing. Perfect. And you're complaining that you didn't get fish and meat. What are you complaining about? The answer was is that they were looking for something to complain about. They were looking to get themselves away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're guilty of this every day of our life. We come up with the most wildest excuses of why we can't do different things. And they're wild excuses, but we really believe them. You can ask any educator. I taught high school boys. I can write a book of the worst excuses I've ever heard in my life of why kids didn't do what they're supposed to do. It's horrific excuses. The kid tells me his sister got married. I said, great. He missed 3 days of yeshiva. I said, were you the caterer? Did you clean up the wedding? You weren't even masadah. What did you do for so long? 3 days. But what's the most, perhaps ironic or sad thing of it, the kids really believe it. Like, they're like, what do you mean? My sister got married. I'm out of yeshiva for like a week. Like, that, what's wrong with you? So that's really what we're all guilty of. We're all guilty, really, of convincing ourselves that this is the new reality. And by doing so, we are unable to continue our growth in Yiddishkeit. So what's the role of the Zakenim according to this? I think the role of the Zakenim is Ain Zaken al Misha Kana Chachma. You speak to someone who's wiser than you, you say, this, is this a valid excuse? If we all had our nisyonos in life and we had, who we asked and bounced things off of, and we spoke to people that are smarter than us, why do people go ask a shayla? Why do people shayla itza by Rabbanim? There's really two reasons. One reason is we think rabbis are smarter than us because they learn Torah. And the other reason, I think, is an important reason, is because they're not an Egei B'Dover. They have no skin in the games. It doesn't really affect, and if they do, they really shouldn't be making such decisions. The godless of going to a third party is that the third party has nothing really invested in it. And therefore, the Torah is suggesting when you want to make a decision in life, which path to go, to the right or to the left, spirituality or against spirituality, and maybe you have a justifiable reason, but bounce it off someone who's like a Zakin. Zeshe Kana Chachma. Zakin represents someone who's been around, someone who has experience. He's seen a lot. When you bounce it off someone else like that, then you have the best chance for perhaps making the most accurate an honest decision. And then there's a famous Gemara in Brachas in the fourth parak. The Gemara says about the Belazar ben Azariah that before he took the position of becoming the Roish, he asked his wife first. So it's a very important lesson in life. Very often when we take new positions and make major moves in our life, the first person we should ask is our wife. Why? Because they know us better than anyone else. They know what we can handle and what we can't handle. And they know when we're fooling ourselves and they know when we're not fooling ourselves. So not only is there an element of speaking to Zakenim, there's an element of speaking to one's wife. Obviously, if it's a decision that you're both making together, then it's not going to help to ask her. If you're both deciding where you want to move or how you want to raise your children, it's not going to help to ask her because she's in a Gevra Dover. But I personally found in my life, whenever I made decisions about jobs, my wife usually said, no, this job is not right for you. You're going to be terrible at this. I said, thank you very much. She said, no, based on your personality and your strength. And she was right every single time. Every single time, anything that came up that I wouldn't be good at. I convinced myself I'd be good at it, but she knows better. And therefore in life, when you want to make the right decision, whether it be in spirituality, whether it be in stamazay, hadrocha zachaim, there were studies done that some of the biggest investors in the world consulted with their spouse before they made any big investment. Now, it doesn't mean his wife was the biggest expert in investments, but there's an element of bouncing things off of people. And it's often, you know, people look at it as weak. Oh, you can't make a decision by yourself. It means you're weak. It doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're actually smart. It means you take all elements into consideration. There's a whole discussion now with our president. Did he make the right decision instead of obliterating Iran, or did he not make the right decision? Did he think about it? Did he think about it? You know, he's getting flack on both sides like we knew he would no matter what he does. You know, there's an element that when you're making big decisions, you want to speak to people. You want to speak to people in your circle, people who know you. But the most important thing is people who know you and know what you can really do and what you can't do, and therefore they can give you an honest decision. Today's learning is Le'ilu Nishmas
Chaim Leib
and Yaakov Yitzchak, whose yahrzeit is coming up this Thursday. What, you, how many years already?
3 years.
Wow. There's a Rashi on this week's beginning of this week's parasha. Rashi says, but the word Bahaloischa, the word Bahaloischa we all translate to light. There's no word Bahaloischa that means lighting. The word in Hebrew for lighting is Hadlaka. Bahaloischa means to raise up. So Rashi quotes two pshatim on why we use the word Bahaloischa. One pshat Rashi says is because we want the flame to go up on its own, it jumps up. The other pshat was there's a little platform that the Kohen used to stand on and he used to light the menorah. Two separate pshatim in Rashi. I heard from Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg in his chumash, which I suggested by Alma. If you want a good chumash besides the one we give here, and you have about 50 minutes to listen, I would suggest to listen to Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. His chumash is fantastic. He's a fantastic chumash. So it's really off the, really, really unbelievable. Every week, he never misses. Every week he's terrific, and you go back to the old week. Now he's on vacation to the end of July. But you listen to the old stuff. He's got up there since, I don't know, 2012 already. He's fantastic. He doesn't miss a beat. He's his chumashim shir are really terrific. So he makes this ha'ara. He points out, he says he doesn't remember who he saw it from, but he said he saw somewhere that the two pshatim and Rashi are not a contradiction. They complement each other. They're both referring to chinuch. In the world of chinuch, we speak about this many times, when Moshe Feinstein writes like this, when you want to be a good mechanech, the way you mechanech your children is not by telling them what to do, it's by living such a lifestyle. When you live a lifestyle that you want your children to, and you're honest about it, then they live that lifestyle because they see it growing up. Therefore, if you want your flame to jump up, you want your child to be excited about Yiddishkeit and jump on his own, you got to step up to the platform. You need to stand on that platform and be a representation, to be a role model for your child. And when a person can be a role model for his child, then he can be zeiche to the flame jumping up. Baruch Hashem, Jeff is commemorating the Yahrzeit here with us today, which is, I'm always very touched when people decide to bring their simchas and sorrows and their commemorations to our shir, and they want to bring, there's no better way to commemorate a neshama than through Torah. I can't imagine any better way. Giving tikkun all day long is not as good as learning Torah, but you can do both, it's even better. But Baruch Hashem, I got to know Jeff over the years, and I got to know his wonderful family, his sons and son-in-laws, really wonderful, wonderful people, and clearly you see that was a home where Jeff didn't just tell them what to do, he lived it. He stepped on that pillar and he showed them how to live their life, how to be madrich, his children, Baruch Hashem. You see wonderful, wonderful children, wonderful grandchildren, wonderful parents. I got to be at a simcha recently. It was really, really special to be at a Shalom Zacher in my neighborhood. I didn't even have to travel anywhere to partake and join Jeff in his simcha. Baruch Hashem, I still hear people in Qur'an Hill still talking about Rabbi Rohr. They still talk about him as a celebrity, even though he's already moved out of the neighborhood a while. But Baruch Hashem, I'm still hearing from people. You don't know how big of a masmid he is. You don't understand how much he learns. I said, trust me, I do know. I hear from his father. I know good and well what he's doing. I'm not worried. But Baruch Hashem, it's because he stepped up to the platform and lived a life that represents what he believes in. Baruch Hashem, his children, his grandchildren, Azaychet, to go in that way. And that is perhaps the only nechama for losing a loved one, is the idea that they're going, their children and grandchildren are continuing on the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the greatest aliyas neshama one can have, to see that his children and grandchildren, Mitzvah Hashem, David Davis, are learning Torah, Marbitz Torah, spreading Torah, changing Klais while affecting the world for the better, and that is the greatest aliyas neshama. Okay, what happened last week, we started to talk about Tavas Dambris, and I think I piqued some interest for myself, for sure, about understanding Tavas Dambris, and for that reason, we're going to go back a couple of steps and try to deal with the sugya of Atafas Dambris. What is it all about? How does it work? And how does it connect from the sugya that we spoke about last week? I must apologize. I have to run out at the end of the show. I have to chasen in Baltimore, so I'm going to have to just quickly run out. It's not because I don't want to stay for the beautiful symposium downstairs or the endless amount of food I see around here in the building, but I just have to run out to be where I need to be. So let's go back a couple of steps. We started talking about last week where what happens if you do a bris at night? What happens if you do a bris before the eighth day? So again, we learned in the Gemara last week that a bris done at night is no good. It says in the Torah what? It says ubayim. That's not the real drasha. We know that. The real drasha is And the Gemara says it's from a different pasuk. It's not from the word biyoim. The Tosis has a kasha. It's not really from biyoim. But we know a bris can't be done during the day, and a bris can't be done during toich ches, within the eighth day. The question is, let's say you did an incorrect bris. What do you do now? So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. I'm sorry, Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. So talk to Gemara. The Gemara is going through a whole bunch of drushes from the word erlosoi. It says in the Chumash biyoim ashmini yimol besar erlosoi, on the eighth day you should cut off his erlo. So the Gemara makes a drasha, bunch of drushes. Says the Gemara, Arlo say vadei doiches Shabbos. The only type of arlo that you can violate the Shabbos for is an arlo vadei. V'loi noilot kishahumol doiches Shabbos. But if a baby would to be born already gemald, with already a bris milah, that is not doiches Shabbos. So Tosfos has a whole discussion over here. I decided not to get so much into it because Tosfos really talks about an adragonus. The Gemara makes a drasha, safig, vole adragonus. Tosfos has all shaila. Well, of course not. Why would you think so? So maybe if we don't know if it's mechuyev in the mila or not. So Shabbos is going to be mechal the Shabbos for a safig. That's what Tosfos has a kasha like that. If we ever come back to learn Kuflam and Hey again, maybe then we'll talk about it. But I that's what we want to get to today. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to violate the Shabbos for a baby that's Noilin Mohol. Now, what would you do with a baby that's Noilin Mohol? So the Gemara goes on. Shabbos says, Tzarech La'atav Meir Adambris. You have to do what's called a Tafas Dambris. Now, we're not going to translate what those words mean because we'll say it's a machloikis, but that you have to do something. And that something you can't do on Shabbos. I mean, right, that's the Chiddush. Right, the Gemara says that Arlosoi Vadai Veloi Noil Kishuhu Moldoi Chas Shabbos. So Zalk Beishamai on a normal baby that's born noilad mohol, you have to do something. That something can't be done on Shabbos. Ubeitzel meinitzar. Ubeitzel has nothing to do. The baby's no mohol. Consider yourself a lucky father. You don't have to make a bris. That's machlokes beisham beitzel. Now, does the Gemara explain where this idea come from? A tafas dam bris? No. Gemara just tells you it's machlokes beisham beitzel. Does a noilad mohol need a tafas dam bris? And even if it does need a tafas dam bris, it can't be done on Shabbos. Then the Gemara goes on to explain, Amr of Shimei ben Elazar, lo nechlo b'sham b'silol, al noilot kishumo. That's going not so fast. Says of Shimei ben Elazar, you misunderstood the machlokes b'sham b'silol. You thought the machlokes b'sham b'silol was a baby that was born with a bris. Do you do something or don't you do something? That's not the pshat. That's not what they're arguing about. They're not arguing al noilot kishumo, shesach that's not bris. Why? And they sh'ar lo kivushi. Everyone holds a baby that's born without a mila needs a mila. Why? Because we think it's an arlo kivusha. What's an Arlo Kavusha? So if you look in Rashi, number 2, Rashi explains, he goes on the Gemara before about an Adragin, is Suffolk who? The Noel Ben Hashemash, Nami Suffolk's Manu, who Suffolk in his Manu, the Chen Noel Mol, Suffolk Shema Arlo Kavushi. What's the Suffolk with a Noel Mol? Maybe it was Noel Arlo Kavusha, Ha'ar Dovuk Bebasser. The foreskin that's supposed to be cut is really there, but somehow it gets connected into the skin. So it's not the Pshat that there is no foreskin, there is, it's just you can't see with the naked eye. I spoke to Amayel about this week. He told me he has no idea what this Gemara is talking about. He told me he's never seen a Noilad Mohol before. We'll talk about a Ger that Moilam do. Good. That's what we're going to have to talk about. But it sounds like from the Gemara that according to Reb Shimon Elazar, and this is all going to be very relevant, according to Reb Shimon Elazar, Noilad Mohol is not the pshat that there's no foreskin in your potter. The pshat is it's there, you got to dig and find it. You got to find a way to figure out where the Arla is and cut that. That's the way it seems like from Reb Shimon Elazar. So where is Dera Machlokes, Sok to Gemara?
So good.
So that's what we got to figure this all out.
How do you know it's there if you can't see it?
We'll see. That might be a machlokes also. Suffolk. Maybe there's a, maybe not. We don't know. Might be a Suffolk. I was speaking to a male. He told me he's never come across it. He told me when he learns this Gemara and Rashi, he doesn't understand what Rashi's talking about. But I don't know. I tried to do my research. I couldn't find too much about it.
It takes it for a dog pasha. That's such a thing.
Yeah.
No,
he told me he's never seen a Noilad Mohol. He's seen a Ger. Noilad Mohol? I say David HaMelech, we're going to see David HaMelech was a Noilad Mohol. We'll talk about it. Well, so we'll talk a little bit more about what this means. Yaakov, they said, was also Noilad Mohol. We'll talk a little bit about that as well.
Noilad Mohol, we understand to be that you were born gemal.
Right, so the Gemara is saying no. Noilad Mohol doesn't mean you're born without the foreskin. It means we don't see the foreskin, but could be we're missing something. It might be somehow embedded in the skin and we got to do something. So the Gemara says, so where is there a machloikis? Alma nechluku? Al Gershin is Gaya Kishumo. No. You know where the Machalikis lies? It doesn't talk about a case of a cotton Shinoilan Mall. Cotton Shinoilan Mall, of course, needs a bris. Well, again, not a bris, it means a Tatovas Dam bris. So where is there a point of disagreement between Mesham Beisilo? She Mesham Beisilo, 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 is by a Ger. a gerish in this guy. This is very relevant. This happens all the time. You have a person who wants to become Jewish, or let's say you have a non-religious person that got a bris milah in a hospital somewhere by a non-Jew, and the bris was done. There's no arlo there. They cut off the foreskin. It wasn't done kedash or kedin, and now he wants to become Jewish. What do you do now? So that's machlokes Beis Shammai. So according to Beis Shammai, you got to do this hatofes dam bris. I meant the bris wasn't kosher for whatever reason. Let's say it was done, you know, Balayla, or it was done, which we need to talk about, all the cases we didn't talk about yet. I'm trying not to get involved in the details because we'll see everything develops from this, the Hakdama. But whenever you would need a Tavis Dan Bris, that's Machloikis, Beisham Beisolo. So we have a double Machloikis over here. We have Machloikis, Beisham Beisolo, and then we have Machloikis, Tanakama, and Ibshim and Ben Elazar. When was there a Machloikis, Beisham Beisolo? According to the Tanakama, Noilid Mohol is a Machloikis, Beisham Beisolo. Who do we normally pass in like Machloikis, Beisham Beisolo? Beisolo. Which would then mean if a baby is a Noilid Mohol, Hitaka doesn't need a Tavis Dan Bris. However, according to Ibshim Ben Elazar, that's not the Machloikis. Machloikis is by a Ger. Which would then be the same conclusion. A ger would not need a toughest dam bris.
Would a ger ever have a bris on Shabbos? I mean, it's not such an easy...
No, we're not talking about Shabbos. We're talking about stamazet. Stamazet. We're saying even the machloikis that Bishama requires it, it can't be done on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara is very unique. The Gemara makes no mention of who made up a toughest dam bris. Menola, the Gemara doesn't, you know, the next line, if we wrote the Gemara, the next line, Hatavas Dambris Minayin, Menolon, what is it? Nothing. The Gemara leaves off with absolutely no mention, no din about what Hatavas Dambris is. So there's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi comes to our Savior.
If the baby's born Menolon Mo, then why would you have to do Tavas Dambris?
So according, to the Gemara, it's because it's Arla Kavusha. We're Chayish that there is an Arla.
But if you, on the suffix that it is right. Real Mo, and not just Kavusha.
Right. Then you don't have to. So that's what the Gemara is going to say. You might have to do it al suffik. That's why it's a suffik. Okay, according to Beis Hillel, it's nothing. If you don't have to do it at all. According to Beis Shammai, it's at least a suffik. But that suffik is not the Echad Shabbos. Now, if you hold... Oh, okay, we've got to get to that. That hopefully we'll cover next week. After we finish laying out the groundwork for Tavas Dan Bris, we'll then attack the next issue of where the bracha works in. Obviously, if the whole reason why you're only doing it is because of suffik, it doesn't make sense to do a bracha. We'll see, that's a big machlokes b'shanim. We'll talk about it in Mr. Shem. I hope by next week we'll get to that point. So
this is related to it. Anytime we have a suffix bracha, why don't we just do the bracha and say baruch shem for malchus?
Because the way they instituted bracha. Now the question is really the other way. The thing that we do by the shal rosh is really troubling. That's really against the rules. That's the Aruch HaShulchan was always troubled by this. He never understood. Right. Because really the rules are, brachas were made up not to be recited in a case of doubt. So the question is really, why is tefillin the exception? That's a good kasha. I used to daven in a shul with an old fellow. Every week he would hack me the same kasha about this. Every time he bugged me about, what's this idea of the Baruch Shem? Why do we do it? The Aruch HaShulchan is against it. Every week we go to the same conversation. It's a kasha. It's very strange. It goes against all the normal rules of Hilchos Brachos. Normal Hilchos Brachos, the rules of Safek Brachos Lahakam. Except for brachos that are deraisa, like benching. Maybe other brachos that are deraisa. So there's Yushalmi. Baruch Hashem, we have a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says in Shabbos, Perek Yites, our Perek. Zok Yushalmi. Rav Omar Himol Yimol. One of the pesukim by Bismillah is himo yimo double lashon mikan lenoilat kishu mol shetzarich lapis men adam bris. Okay, gavaldik to Yushalmi. According to Yushalmi, it's exeris hakasif. There's exeris hakasif. Even though the baby's already gemal, there's nothing more to do to it. You do something. You do a tavas dam bris. So according to Yushalmi, it's exeris hakasif. Okay, no exeris hakasif is exeris hakasif. Now what's interesting is the Yushalmi is referring to noilat mohol. What would Yushalmi hold about ger? Question is how far we're going to take that also, right? That's a big discussion, how far we take that. That was last week's, this week's parasha. Right? Everyone was not allowed to marry, everyone not allowed to marry because of all the Nurusurim. But if you hold everyone was a geir at Kabbalah Sotayr, that's right, everyone can marry whoever they want. You can marry your sister, you can marry your aunt, all bets are off. That's a discussion.
Can Tino be converted when he's a Tino? The third day,
he was
born
not Jewish. Aldas.
And in between, on Shabbos, in between he was converted. Could he be converted on Shabbos?
How would we tell you? Right, the Gemara says a cotton, you need to have the parents' consent because there has to be a schusven. There's all discussion how do you do these things. But that would sound like a tefilas geiris is not normally mechal al Shabbos. But you're saying over here it's not a tefilas geiris; it's a regular ben Yisrael. And because at this point assuming you can pull off the geirus of a cotton with the parents' consent, I think that's not so poshut. That's the Gemara in Ksubis. Whether or not that's a real schus, is that a genuine schus to be Jewish or not? I forgot already. That's the Gemara in Ksubis, Dafir Aleph. Zochanla, we say Matvil Aldas, we do it for him.
It's a schus
to be Jewish, yeah, I guess. So again, according to the Yushalmi, it's Exeris HaKosov. Okay, so it's Exeris HaKosov. Now the question over here is, does this Yushalmi work with our Gemara? Our Gemara talks about Tchshash and Mar Lekvusha. We're talking about maybe it's a Kavush. So then you don't really need a gzeiras hakasa for that. The reason why I do atavas damris is because yechayshu there might be an early here. That's you don't need a pasuk. That's you know that's what we always do. So that's the question of whether or not this Yushalmi necessarily agrees with the Bavli. We'll see the Or Zeruah talks about the Shaila of whether or not the Yushalmi is necessarily in line with the Bavli. In any case, according to Yushalmi, would Atavas Dambris be a Din Daraisa? I guess so. That's a learn from a Pasuk. Unless he says Asmachta, we assume it's Daraisa. The Minchas Chinuch has a piece over here. I apologize. For some reason, on my Oitzah Chachma, I only have the old print. We're going to see it's Machloikis. Machloikis. It's Machloikis. Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
That's only in connection with an actual
risk. Oh, good. That's what I want to talk about. I'm bedavka not translating those words because we'll see it's a shayla. It's probably totally in what we're trying to figure out, what we're trying to accomplish every time we do this. Hatavas Dambris, simple translation means you want blood to come out. We'll see if that's necessarily the right translation. The Minchas Chinuch writes about Hatavas Dambris. He writes the following, again, I apologize for the print. He writes, Linias Daiti, the Hadikasva Hatayra, the mitzvah lomol ha'orla, tavka b'sheyesh la'orla. You gotta have an orla to cut. There's no mitzvah. There's no orla. V'atovas dambris. So what's the tovas dambris? Zok the Minchas Chinuch. Kfar kesavti de la har beishitas ene el de rabbanon. It's all the tovas dambris. Only the rabbanon. Da teira loy omra lomul el ha orla. What was it in the Torah? You cut off the orla. He has no orla. What are you supposed to do? El shlo ya orl vim ene orl shenoyl maho nitzchak orla safeh di psulim oy shlimol teich zayin oy belaylo ene a mitzvah chalalov kein loy orla. It's not just taking off the orlo. That's the two dinim. It shouldn't be an orlo. But what is it sounding from the Minchas Chinuch? He thinks this whole thing is the rabbanon made up by the rabbis. Again, the Gemara is funny. The Gemara has no basis for Hatavas Dambris. The Gemara throws us into a machlokes b'Yushalmi Yisrael without any mekayris. So you have the Yushalmi. I guess the Minchas Chinuch assumed not like the Yushalmi, or even the Yushalmi maybe is an asmachta. But he thought this whole thing of Hatavas Dambris at best is a rabbanon. It's not a din d'oraisa. We quoted the Gemara Menachos many times. There's a famous Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Menachos tells us that David HaMelech was very depressed when he went to the bathhouse because he was Aram in HaMitzvahs. He said, I have no mitzvahs. So what happened? So when finally, when David HaMelech looked down and he saw his Mila, he was comforted because he had his Mila. That's the famous Gemara in Menachos. We spoke heavily about this Gemara. This is one of the rayas to the idea of the Beis HaLevi, the Marach HaZeruah, that the mitzvah is to be gemalt, because if it's a one-time mitzvah, what's he looking down upon? He did this mitzvah, his father gemalt him 50 years ago. The answer is no. The mitzvah is to be a status of a gemalt, and therefore he was comforted by it. So I don't know if we spoke about it, there's a shiloh. What happened when he went to sleep at night? Did he wear tzitzis? So the Magen Avraham brings it right to the sheet of that Rizal. He used to wear tzitzis at night. Kasha, what about the mezuzah, right? That's what you talk about.
Why would he have to wear tzitzis?
He still wore tzitzis b'layla. Some people wear tzitzis b'layla. Maybe a pot.
No,
because the first time, because the question is, why was this the first time he had no mitzvahs? And when he took off his tzitzis, he had no mila. He had no mitzvahs then either. Some people say he had a mezuzah. So he had the mezuzah in the base of America. That's a terrace. In the bathhouse, there was no more mezuzah. I in his house. So he looked at the door. He saw his mezuzah. That's a shayla.
Based on that drasha, really, our drasha of tzitzis that he wore at night, it wasn't a mitzvah at that time.
That's another question. If it wasn't a mitzvah, so what was he? So it's a freedom with it. Okay, yeah.
But he
didn't. That's a Magen Avraham brings it right to this idea. I think Lubavitch, they would sit this belay, if I'm not mistaken. They were sit this to sleep. Maybe Chassidim do also. I'm not sure.
But our acceptance is that it's not.
We hold you're not mechuyev, you're not obligated, right?
They also sit in the sukkah when it's raining.
They sit in the sukkah when it's raining. Well, Chabad does that.
Right. What I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying. You bring
Chassidim
it
right. Chassidim do it also, I think.
What?
I think Chassidim do it also, not just Chabad.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's against Yushalmi, but okay. That's a shmooze for a different time.
By the way, speaking of Yushalmi, does Yushalmi give how does he learn that out from the Himo Yimo?
It's double Lashon. What's the double? Sure. Means do no matter what. Even if there's nothing to cut, you should do something. That's how he learns it from the double Lashon. So we mentioned the Gemara says by David HaMelech, that David HaMelech saw his Mila. So it sounds like that David HaMelech had a Maisa Mila. There's only one problem. The Gemara says in Saita number 5, that David was born Neilad Mohol. David was born without a Mila. So what exactly was David looking at? He didn't have a bris. What was he so comforted by? The Gemara says in Saita number 5, about David HaMelech, David shayim moch v'tom l'chol David. L'chol. Davar acher michtoim shayisim makosei tamo. He was Neulad Mol. So, Frekti Achrein, if David was Neulad Mol, so what was he doing? He looked at his bismil and said to himself, yeah, I remember my parents saved all that money on the moilan on the bagels.
That's the
right. So the chayra, you see from this gemara, that David HaMelech must have had Hatafas Dambris. Hatafas Dambris must be a real thing. And you see from this gemara that I know the mon, he said Hatafas Dambris.
What status of being the mouth, we just said.
Oh, good. Okay, good. That's what I want to get to in a second. So the question is, do you have a raya from this story? So the marsha on site of Emes asks this kasha. Fact the marsha, Number 7. The Gemara says in Menachos, but David was comforted by the fact that he looked down and saw the Mila. In fact, the Marsha, why did that comfort him? So he says, if you hold that every Noel Mol needs Dambris, then it's beautiful. David looked down and saw, yeah, my parents had to do something. They did it at Tavas Dambris, and that's B'mokim Mila. Yeah, okay, it'll be a meal derabbanan, but that somehow comforted David. He felt that there was something done to him. But frek demar show. But let's say you hold, you don't need a tavas dambris. Let's say we paskin like Reb Shimon ben Elazar. I'm sorry. Let's say we paskin like the Tanakama and Beis Hillel. That noilu mahol ain't a tzarich dambris. So David didn't need anything. So what was David looking down every single time? So the marsha says, and if you hold, you don't need a tavas dambris. Become welcome semech shaloi hoya oral. He was happy about that. He wasn't an oral. Kilen iskai bo kumase. Even though he didn't actively do it, he didn't take off the shame oral. He was born a non-oral, but he was a non-oral. So the question is, what is how are we to understand this marsha? Would one argue and say that when someone's noilud mohol, he's also a fulfillment of not being gemalt, of not being an oral, or you have to do something to be not considered an oral? The second side of the Beis Halevi that we always talk about, the two dinim and mila, one is to do the ma'aseh, one is the result of being gemalt. Would that be true even if you didn't do anything to get there? Well, you say, well, I was born this way. So every moment of my life, I was born in a certain way, and that way makes me a certain status, and that status is binding lahalach. Is that true? Or would you assume in order to be in that matzev of not an oral, you'd have to at least do something? I had to did an action to put me in this status. That's a shayla. So you could debate that.
But where do we see that the first removes
the shame
oral?
So why else are you doing it? So why else are you doing it?
I don't know why. I mean, well,
okay, that's the question. If you do, let's say you wouldn't do it. According to Beis Shammai, you don't do Tavas Dambris. Where are you left now?
Whether you need a Maisa or not.
For what bris or for this?
Hatafas. Meaning, is your status of being gemalt chal if you do a Maisa or even if you don't?
Right. I think that's what the Mashah might be telling us. And the Mashah's answer is that even if you don't need a Tavas Dambris because the whole purpose of the bris is to be in a certain status. I was in that status without it. The question that one can argue is maybe to get to that status, you need to do something. It's not a self-imposed status. Maybe.
How do you look at a Tavas Dambris? Is it like a
Tashmimim? Oh, okay, good.
Or is it a whole new...
That's what we're going to talk about. That's really the question. Is it some way of fixing it, or is it a Mila B'fnei Atzmai? As part of Reb Chaim, Bolinet will hopefully tackle that, I hope, next week. But, okay, keeping all this, again, this is merely a Hagdoma. It's really a Hagdoma to the Sugya of a Tavas Dambris. It happens to be a Geshmak of Sugya. But let's go back another step. What exactly is a Tavas Dambris? What do you do? What's the procedure? So if you look over in the Urzerua, number 8, now you have to remember, what did the Gemara say? That the machloikis by Shammai Selel is by Ger and by Noilud Moho. Now Noilud Moho, what did the Gemara say? You have Arla Kavusha. There's no Arla Kavusha by a Ger. By a Ger, it's nothing there. Zero. Nothing to talk about. So if you're going to do the exact same procedure by one and by the other, the procedure has to be able to be applied by both cases. Now if the procedure of Atavas Dambris is to try to get a foreskin that was attached to the skin, you can't do that same procedure by Noilud Moho. It's impossible. By a Ger Shenizgayer. Because by Ger Shenizgayer, there's nothing there. So the Arzurua writes, "Mitoicha loshen de nokat tvei atavas dambris beger shenis gayer mahol v'noilan mahol mashma the mazed batavas dambris ba'alma avzed batavas dam ba'alma." You have the same thing. Whatever atavas dambris means by ger, it means by noilan mahol. The alpish on the sky by Mrs. Priya lemilo it's Rabbi below the Priya. Even though you're not going to pull anything back, there's nothing to pull back. There's nothing to do. It's just going to be a little bit of a cut, an incision. The loshen of the chazanish is a srita. Like a little cut. So I was talking to a mohel. He told me that's what they do. With the gerish and the sky, they have a little thing, a little prick. That's the whole shebang. That's the whole thing. There's nothing to cut because there's nothing there. All you have, the skin is already pulled back. Now, the question is, what do you mean? But what about by a noilud mohel? By a noilud mohel, you're trying to find the foreskin. It's not like by a ger, there's nothing there. Here, the Arzurua assumes that they are the same procedure, which means by both procedure, all you do is making a little bit of a dot, a drop, a serita ba'alma.
Would you make a bracha lach niso?
So we're going to talk about Abinezer next week about the brachas on top of his numbers. We'll hopefully cover that. However, there's a Me'iri. The Me'iri writes Kinira not like that. The Me'iri says that when you mamish making a cut, he writes over here. Every time you do a noyel mo, you have to do a little bit of a bris mila. And klipa lahatif mimenu dambris. You peel something back. So it sounds like from the eerie, it's not just a little dab cut, blood comes out. I was doing some form of a maisa mila, more of an in-depth medical procedure. What's interesting is the sefer derech pekudecha. Any good chassidim here? What's the sefer derech pekudecha written by? The Bnei Yisoscha. And Bnei Yisoscha, everyone knows about the sefer Bnei Yisoscha. He wrote another sefer called derech pekudecha, which is used lahalacha lemaisa. He goes through the mitzvahs, and in each one of the mitzvahs, he gives halacha. Not just, then he gives, kabbalah and things like that, but he gives a lot of interesting halachic ramifications in the sefer derech pekudecha. So the Bnei Yisoscha wrote that sefer. Why was his name Yisoscha? Why is that the name of the sefer? Because his rebbe told him, I know that you're from Shevet Yisoscha. He told him that. He knew he was from Shevet Yisoscha, so he named the sefer Bnei Yisoscha. He also held that that's the right way to pronounce the name Yisoscha, which we spoke about many times, if that's the right way to pronounce the word. That's Rabbi Soloveitchik's opinion. He says you switch when you get to wherever the Rashi, the Rishonim quote over there, that the letter changed. That was Rabbi Soloveitchik's opinion. That up till, I think it was till somewhere at the end of Bamidbar, he used to say Yisoscha all the time. That was Rabbi Soloveitchik's opinion. Someone told me that some several times he said the first time it's Yisoscha and after that it's Yisoscha. I don't know. But that was the Sefer Derech Pekudecha written by the Bnei Yisoscha. So he writes, number 10, Mefurish. He says, Noel Kishu Mol, Tzarech Lahatav Menodam Bris, V'noigim Medinas Elu, at least where I live, where do you live? The Dinov. He writes, Lach Toich Meha Orla. You cut off. Kimoi Tabaz Dak. That's thin rink. Lezeh Tzarech Uman Baki. For this you need, we'll talk about it. It's Mamash Gemara, it's a Gemara Mefurish about it. We'll talk there in a few minutes. And for this you need an expert. Okay. So you see that, at least he held, you have to have it's not just I'm a little prick and blood comes out. You have to do some form of a cutting. Halach lemaisa, at least from the Mo'el I spoke to, that's not what we passing. We passing a ger shenis gair. Again, he's talking about a Neulin Mo'el. I don't know, but at least for a ger, that we hold you do need a tavas dambris, even though it's a usual machlokes b'shanim, they just make a little prick and that's the whole shebang. No cutting.
Question one, that makes sense, right? If the whole idea of accepting the mirror, why do you have
tavas dambris? So that's what we're going to talk about. It's very interesting with the Gemara. The Gemara draws a parallel between the katan and a ger shenis gair. Now, why does a katan have a mila? Because it says in the Torah, he malima, you got to do a mila. Why does a ger need a mila? Because it's one of the processes of becoming Jewish. So why is it so simple to the Gemara that what works for one works for the other? Maybe the process that a ger needs to join Judaism is very different than the process that a little boy needs, who's born Jewish, just to make a check in Shemaim that he did his bris mila. The Gemara associates the two. That's a shaila. Is that simple that they're...
Is that true? Is a boy Jewish?
Yeah.
So he has his mila?
Yeah, he's Jewish. He has the status of an Oral. But he's still a yid. This guy needs this process to make him Jewish. So then you have to figure out how the process is done. So that's a big nikud that we'll have to talk about in the Rishonim.
So if we talk about the dogmas, then you have to be gemal, so they're both in the same category.
But not for different reasons. But if you need it for different reasons.
No,
if I need to be gemal,
one can be an R, one can be a guy, but what's the difference? But right now you're not.
Right, but if I need it, well, it depends what I need to be get done for me.
No, you have to be in a condition where you have a
bris. Is that all it is to become Jewish?
According to that Hakir that we
talked about. The Hakir was by a bris, by a baby. I'm suggesting now, as Achorin pointed out, that maybe a ger's requirement is different than a baby's requirement. Oh. That's what we'll have to blinether, see a little bit more about. So if you accept all of this Torah, so now we can go back to the kash about David HaMelech. Why? So if you look in the Sefer number 11 over here, in the Sefer Beis Aaron v'Yisrael, he writes this. No, it's a Likud Sefer. Oh. He says, L'fizim yushuv ha-kushah shebetchilas devarim. Now we go back to, what was our original kasha? What was David HaMelech so happy about? He was only in Atavas Dan Bris. What was that Tavas Dan Bris anyway? So he says, he thinks, let's say you go like the Marach or Zeruah, that it's the status of being gemalt. But you didn't do anything to be gemalt. Why should you be so proud of you, the fact that you're not in a situation when you did nothing to put yourself in that situation? So he says, no, but if you hold like this Me'iri, and you hold like the Bnei Yisoscha, that you actually have to do a procedure, it's not just a little drop, you gotta cut something. So he writes that you need to be kolof min ha'or ha'nichvash, v'yesh hazeh she'milo, v'lechein tzemeach. Oh, you did something. It wasn't just that your parents skipped over the whole procedure. Your parents had to go get a boil to do a specific cut. There was a maisa mila done. Oh, so if there was a maisa mila done, even if you're atavas dambris, there was a maisa mila done. Because that's what atavas dambris is. So mila, now you understand why David HaMelech was happy. Because he became an ois oral through a procedure. Not just by being born. The maisa atavas dambris was a maisa mila. It did something to change his status, and that's why he was happy. Okay. That's all what we call a regular Atavas Dambris. Now there's another case of Atavas Dambris, a Gemara in Shabbos, a block before our block, the Gemara number 12. Says the Gemara story. Pamachas alachti mladinas kaputkia, ubo isha achas lefonai. A lady came to me. Shemola b'no rishon umes. She had a first baby boy. They gave the baby a bris, and Nebuch the baby died. Sheni umes. Same story. Shlishi heviyas lefonai. The third baby, they decided to ask a shiloh. Good idea. They decided to ask someone before they give their kid a bris. So they brought the baby to me. The funai reisav shehu yoruk. I saw the baby was green. Yoruk. So it's atzibah v'lo reisibah dambris. And I saw that the baby doesn't have blood. There's apparently a blood issue with this baby. It doesn't have the proper blood. So what? So I said, amarti lo hamtani lo achetibo badama. Wait a little bit until the blood falls, until it has more blood flow. Vimtini. They waited. Umolo, I said, they mouthed the baby. V'choy the baby liva. Yikar and shema. Nasan ababli al shmi. They named the baby after me. That's how the Gemara ends off. They named the baby after him because he saved the baby's life. They named the baby after him. So Rashi's bothered with Akasha. What does it mean that there was no blood? What's this all about? So Rashi, there's two problems about giving a baby a bris that has no blood. Chada, the imole le nafig mine, dama va'atavas dam bris mitzvah. Guys, you cannot have a bris milah when no blood comes out. Because it says in the pasuk in Zechariah, kames bedam brischa. Unbelievable. Oh, Rashi's learning over that the reason why you can't perform a bris on a baby, you're going to cut the whole earl off. Nothing to talk about. The earl is gone. But there'll be no blood come out. So since no blood comes out, you can't perform the bris because it's a din atavas dam bris. For oid, what's the oid of Rashi? The misokinu, it's dangerous. So if we were writing Rashi, which one would we probably have put in first? There's a common reason. That's a compelling argument. Hatavas dambris, what's Rashi talking about? So here it seems like from Rashi a new type of hatavas dambris. It sounds like from Rashi there's a din that every bris milah needs to have dam come out. Why? Based on a pasuk in Zechariah. So the obvious kasha is, so why can't you cut the baby now and do a hatavas dambris later? Like we do by Neulin Mohol, like we do by Gershon Zgayer. Terus, you see from Rashi that there's two types of Atavas Dambris. There's one type of Atavas Dambris that every Maisa Mila needs to be blood come out. That's one din. There's another Atavas Dambris, which we've been discussing. After or when you can't do a regular or cutting of the Arla, then you have to do something else after that. But this Rashi is Mechudish. Rashi's learning that there's a din in every Bris Mila that Dam has to come out. This is Grata Verity Geir. I was talking to this mother. He told me sometimes with the Geir, he said this is the Chazanisha Shita, that let's say when you prick the Geir, the blood doesn't come out, but it just surfaces like a black and blue mark. Chazanisha, that's good enough also. That's that.
Because it's internal blood.
Yeah, that's considered a Tavis Dambris also. Yeah, for Hilchot Shabbos, I'm sure would be enough, right? That black and blue mark. That's the question of what are we comparing over here? What are we trying to accomplish? Yeah. What we're trying to accomplish. But that's this Rashi's very mechudish. Rashi seems to be giving us a new type of Atavas Dambris. A second type of Atavas Dambris. Regular Atavas Dambris, that's post factor. Then there's Atavas Dambris at the time of the Bris Milah. It didn't Rashi. They, but it almost always works out that there is. The question is, well, so according to this Rashi, the Bris would not be valid. We don't know. That's not the Atavas Dambris that we're discussing. We'll see, there's a tshuva of the Mishkan's Yankov, which we'll blend out the cover next week, that he uses this idea to explain the Rambam, which hopefully we'll see a little bit more about, I hope, by next week. That's right. Rashi's coming from it's two different types of Atavas Dambris. That's another kasha. Why didn't Rashi quote the Yerushalmi? It tells us because Rashi's version of Atavas Dambris is totally different than our sugya of Atavas Dambris. Our sugya is post-factor. Rashi's talking about while you're doing the actual Maisa Mi. Okay, that's all the intro to Atavas Dambris. Now let's learn the sugya. Zakti Gemara. Let's see the Gemara again. So this is the same Gemara in Shabbos, just a little bit continuation. Says the Gemara, Itmar. Rav Omar Halach Ketanakamu. Rav says we pass him like the Tanakamu. Who is the Tanakamu? The Tanakamu was the one who said that Noilid Mohol is a Machloikis Beisham Beisil. Every baby that's born without a Mila, it's a Machloikis Beisham Beisil. Beisham says you need to do something. Beisil says you don't need to do something. Says Rav, we pass him like the Tanakamu. Ushmuel Oimer Halach Kibshem Ben Elazar. Shmuel says no, we pass him like Kibshem Ben Elazar. Now, if you pass him like Kibshem Ben Elazar, where does that take you? That takes you that every Noilid Mohol needs a bris. And Gersh this guy here is the Machloikis. What happens when Rav and Shmuel argue? What do we normally go like? Rav is always by dinim. Rav wins. So the assumption is Rav wins, so we pass him like Rav. That means a Neulid Mohol does not need a Tavas Dambris, because we pass him like Beis Hillel versus Beis Shammai. So therefore, a baby would not need a bris meal. The Gemara continues. Rav Ada bar Rava is Yalad le Ahu Yenuka. Rav Ada bar Rava had a baby that was Neulid Mohol. Kishu Mohol, that was already Gemalt. Hadre Atlesa Mohole. He went looking for Moilim to perform a Tavas Dambris on Shabbos. Adishavye kro shevcha, until he made his baby into a kro shevcha. He was so not well versed in the sugyas of Mila that but he gave up trying to find the mail. He just did it himself. He said tastily. He says, I deserve it. I deserve for ruining my child's life. To Avri Adir Rav, because I went against Rav. Rav said, you don't need a Tavis Dambris. And I went against Rav, and I went out, and I did a Tavis Dambris. So first of all, this Gemara should be a very stark raya to the Meiri. If a Tavis Dambris is merely taking a little, it's pretty hard to create a Kroshuvcha by that.
Right,
how bad did you do that?
Right,
secondly, if you don't, why would he look for 13 Meilim? This should be an amateur can do this. It made it sound like the Gemara he needed to find. He went for every mile. Why is it such a hard thing to do it yourself? You know, take a little. And when he did it himself, it backfired. He became a koshuvcha. So this Gemara is actually more mashman, not like the Yarzira. This Gemara sounds like this is a real medical procedure. And if it's not done right, you can really hurt someone. That's what we saw from earlier. You can really ruin someone's life because the Gemara says a misdone atavas dam bris can really be have long lasting impact. Now again, if all you do is make a little. You know, little tiny drop of an incision. Very hard to understand how he went so wrong. I don't know, but that's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara says, why did he go against Rav? You went against Shmuel also. No, when did Shmuel say you need to do a Tavis Dambris? That's only going to do it. Shabbos miyamar. Why? Who saw a vade or lekvusha? Because he held it's a vade or lekvusha. This baby has a foreskin somewhere. You got to find it. It's not a suffix. Tavade. You gotta search for it. You gotta do medical investigation. And that's why he thought you're allowed to be Mechal of the Shabbos. Okay. That's the end of the Gemara. Now again, the Gemara never then comes back to tell me how do I know anything about a Tavis Dambris. The Gemara leaves us hanging that this is the idea of a Tavis Dambris. Comes a long Taisus, a very long Taisus. But they always say in Yeshiva, the longer the Taisus are, the easier they are to read. It's the little Taisus in that are the ones that hold you up. This one's a big one, but it's a lot of information. Zog Taisus. Hashta Mashma. The Yoisa Yeshla Hatzur Chatofa Lenoil Kishumol, Milanizgar Kishumol. Says Taisus, from the simple reading of the Gemara, the impression one would get is that which one of the two groups have more of a pressing reason to do Atavas Dambris? Again, you have two groups. We have the case of a Noil and Mol, and we have Gerish and Isgar. Those are the two groups the Gemara discusses. We will be neither next week discuss what about the Noilad Belaila and what about the Noilad Toiches. That the Gemara doesn't discuss whether or not they need a Tavis Dambris. The Gemara only talks about two cases of what? Either a Katan Shenoilad Mol or Gerish and Isgar. Says Tosfos, it sounds like from the Gemara that you need to do a Tofa by a Kishu Mol more than by a Goy. Why? Because according to Reb Shimon Elazar, by Noilad Shu Mol is not even a Machlekes. Everyone knows you need to do a Tavis Dambris. Ubigeric applied to the machlokes is only by a ger. Imkade the kamon the pasuk Rav Alach Gitanakamo. Now that we passing like the Tanakamo, umash but the kavasei kaimelon. Midikamer Rav Ad Rav Tesli Davi Ad Rav. From the fact that Rav Ad also thinks we passing like Rav. What does it mean to passing like Rav? Passing like a Rav means you're passing like the Tanakamo. Passing like the Tanakamo means by ger by noilad mohol you hold it doesn't need atavas dambris. If cotton doesn't need atavas dambris, the assumption is neither does it ger. There's a place where Kim the Kamla Katana Kama, Benel Kishumo, Shain Tarachlav is Dambris, Kol Shukin Gerish and Skar Kishumo. So Taisus makes the following observation. This is the way the array in Paschal's Halacha L'Maisa, that a Gerish and a Skyer doesn't need, nor does a Noil and Mol, because they're in the same boat. If Noil and Mol doesn't need, Ger doesn't need as well. Now again, you can argue. So what are you talking about? A Katan Shain Noil and Mol doesn't need because we're not Choshish for Ola Kavusha. But a Ger, how else is he going to become join Judaism? How is he going to join the Jewish nation without a Mila? Nonetheless, Taisus quotes such a Shita that they're not, we don't make the differentiation. Vahag, the Bahag, Loi Pasku came. The Bahag does not rule this way. El Pasku, he goes the other way. The Katan ain't a Tzarech, the Ger Tzarech. He has a middle of the road opinion. No. Katan, you're right, the Ger Katan Shain Noil Doi. Kishu Humal doesn't need a bris, but a ger does need. And what's the logic, says Taisus? Ubekot and Vadikidin Pasku. That makes sense, because the Gemara holds that Machlek is Bisham Beisilil, Machlek is Tanakam and Hashem Menelazar, and we pass like the Tanakam. That's okay. So why do you hold a ger does need? So Taisus. Ubeger Nami near the Risha, some Rahidi Yavamis Perkacholitz. He got it from a Gemara in Yavamis. What does it say in Yavamis? The Tanya, Haresha Bova, Imemalti, Veloit Tavalti. If a guy walks into Bezin and says, you should know, I already had a bris, but I never went to the Mikviat. I want to become Jewish. So the Gemara says, Matvilin, I say. So let's dump him in the mikvah. Very good. Okay. We got the harder of the part done already. Let's say this is easy. Just throw him in the mikvah. We're good to go. No. You can't do the bris milah because we don't know if the bris was a valid bris. So I'll tell you one second. If you don't need a Tavas Dambris, right? What are you not sure about? This is something you could just check. But you worried he didn't have a bris milah, so let's go check. If there's no arlo there, we're good to go. You need a tavas dambris, but you don't need a tavas dambris, so he's good to go. Once he is arloless, he's ready to become Jewish.
No, but maybe he needs some maisa to show that he's a Jew. In other words, to go into the mikvah. In other words, maybe it wasn't done kosher, it was done by a...
All you need is to be no arlo there. If the arlo is gone, the arlo is gone. That's the case of a Geshe's guy.
One second, but a Ger could eat, once he has, let's say if he didn't have a bris, he gets a bris, he could eat Korban Pesach, correct?
Yeah, he's not an Oral anymore.
Okay, and if he was born Mo'ol,
that's what we're figuring out.
Okay.
How's that on Adonim, yeah.
Okay, so why should this be any...
No, Tais is trying to understand. The Mishnah says that if he comes in and says, I had a milah, we can't let him go to the mikvah. Shalom, right. Why not? Because Tais says, you assume his milah is questionable.
Right.
What's questionable about the milah? If there's nothing there, if it's cut off, he's like a Gersh in the sky. He has no orlo.
Is there anybody that says that when you have the bris, it has to be like, you know, that you need the kavana, you know, like making tzitzis that done, you know, and it was done just as a normal health procedure. No,
but every Gersh in the sky is going to have that. Every ger that walks into bez and says, I want to become this guy. So if you hold ger, this guy ain't tzarech tavas dambris, that means we're good to go. All we need to know is you have no arlo.
This is just
Rav Yossi. Yeah, he's been around.
Saying that you don't need
that. That's right. Zog Taishis, what do you see from over here? So he says, "If am I imat filin, I say. May nafkemina im loy molo I say bezdin. Who cares who didn't who gemaldim? Loy el aravi moyo lugavani moyo. Let's say the Arab gave him a bris. Who cares who gave him a bris? He's arloless. That's what we care about. Why? So elevada itzarch latem in a dambris. It must be that no, that's not good enough. Ulekache matvilin de inegar chiim ovit. Well, that's why we hold up the process. So Tosis has arrived from Gemara Yevamos. Okay.
The steer and Rav Bavli Rishami, because Rishami Rav says nola mohol. Now saying
yeah.
Rav Paskin's like a Tanakama.
Yeah. The Ozeru talks about, I think, part of this question.
He has to hold like the Shammai, or
yeah, that's right. I think the Ozeru talks about this, how to make the two things work. Yeah, that piece of Ozeru, I think it's Simon Peites and Hilchos Milah. He talks about this, yeah.
Isn't it a little surprising, I don't know that much about Yerushalmi, but that Rav is
quoted. Neither do I, don't worry. That Rav is what?
Quoted in Yerushalmi?
I can't say I'm familiar enough. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I mean, weren't the time Noah and Ben Eretz Yisrael the ones that were...
That's true. That's true. I don't know. I'm not sure. So, how does Tosfos end off? This is Gevaldik. V'nir l'Rashba, lo says tam b'davar, shari hasvara afucha mistavra. The reversal makes more sense. V'hanu taimo, de ben kadosh shenayu kishumol, o ben geish and esgar kishumol, dinu d'shneim hoyu tu'un matavas dambris. They both need. Why? Ilav d'shin ha'ocha de nokin in tzar, de katan in tzar, chaz minu mishum d'chsev arlo soy, except for the special we have exeris ha'kosef. But davka b'katan de gali, b'ger, de loy gali, loy gali. Fine. Rabbeinu Chananel, pasuk ibcha mi b'hag. V'chananel is the reverse of the b'hag. What was the b'hag? If to go back, the b'hag held that geish and esgar, he holds katan doesn't need and ger does need. So Rabbi Nachman is the reversal of that shita of the Baha. Okay, let's try to go into each one of the shitas we're shining before we even see the Rambam and the Rif. The Rambam and the Rif hold that both do need hatafas dambris. So we have four shitas. Either both do, both don't. Ger does, ger doesn't. Katan doesn't need. Four shitas rishain. So let's see the Rush. The Rush over here is in Pesach Shabbos. The Rush is like this. He wants to defend the shita of the Bahag. What was the shita of the Bahag? The shita of the Bahag was katan ain't tzarech hatavas dambris, but a gershes gayer does need a tavas dambris. Zakti Rosh number 16. For oid raya mahu de perk arla. Bring it right from the Gemara in Yevamos. Gemara says the pligir b'liyazib reb shemin rabbona begershin is gayer kishu mal. If a gayer was this guy when he was mal, and nima b'yoyim b'layla. When do you do the mila? Would you do the mila b'yoyim? Would you do the mila b'layla? So the question is, what's the shiloh? You don't need to do anything. He's Gershes Gar, because you know he's already has a Mila. We spoke about this Gemara last week. The Gemara is all discussing that Mila, even a Mila Shleb Bezmani, can't take place Balayla. So Gemara has Machloik is, can you do the bris of a Ger when he's already Gemalt? Can you do it B'yoyim or Balayla? Says the Rosh, Alma, Kula Maidit Tzar Chatabas Damris. You see from the Gemara that everyone holds you need to do something. The question just is, when do you do that? So clearly, you see from the Gemara that every Gershes Gar needs a Tavas Damris. Venera. Now he gives you a lumdish svar. Till now, we were just proving it from Gemaras. I've arrived from this Gemara, I've arrived from that Gemara. Zokta Rosh, I'll give you a svar. What's the svar of why Ger needs and a cotton doesn't? Venera, the end of time, the Ger, kivin shehoi sole orlo, dinu shetzar hatofi yaisim a cotton, shehoi sole orlo. Alam nishasvar. So this katan never had an arla to cut off. Never had one. He was born arlaless. So what do you want him to do? If it's arla kush. Okay, good. We'll get to that in a second. But the way the Rosh is understanding the difference is the ger, he had an arla. He had it removed incorrectly. Okay. Now you want to come to Klal Yisrael. So the rules in Klal Yisrael are to become Jewish, you have to remove an arlo. I don't have an arlo. Okay, we got to do something. Mashiach the Kotan, he never had an arlo that needed to be removed. He was born, we'll say, arloless. Now this is going to be very relevant to the shailas about giving a baby a bris within 8 days. Right? Would you say a baby within 8 days also is considered having an arlo? Or maybe the whole shame arlo only starts after 8 days? That's going to be the big machlokes achronim, which we spoken about in the beginning. But this is the idea of the rush. The idea of the rush is that a ger had an arla and it was taken off incorrectly. A katan never had an arla, nothing to talk about. Says the rush, v'hikshar abeinu shimshin. This is where we started talking about this a while back.
The ger that happened to be born without an arla would not be chazal v'stam.
And a chanami, feed his cheshbon, that should come out.
Whoa! Why you can't make
prove
that
it?
Why not? He has no arlo.
No, but the baby was born as a yid gemalt. It's the status.
You can't take off an arlo that didn't exist.
If you have status,
but according to the rush, that's not the nekuda. According to the rush, is you had a chiv and you didn't deal with it correctly. I never had a chiv. I didn't have an arlo.
He was a guy.
Okay, so that's a separate argument which Blinet will have to develop next week. Maybe the argument for Tfilas Ger is that he needs to do something to join Klal Yisrael. Okay, we'll blend that to get to that. But this is what I want to at least pick up and bring it back to our sugya. Zokti Rosh, v'hikshu Rabbeinu Shimshin. Rabbeinu Shimshin has a kasha. Im kein, katan sheni motoich shemayna. If a baby had a bris within 8 days, he had tzarech hatafa. He should have to have a tafas dan bris. Why? Kima jahoisele arlo v'nimashle bezmanay. So what's the Rosh assuming, Rabbeinu Shimshin is assuming, that this baby that was born, a regular Jewish baby, he had an arlo. That arlo needed to be taken off properly. And it was taken off improperly. Why? Because it was taken off during the eighth day, within the eighth day, too early. So he should have to have a tafas dan bris.
Can you say the same thing for Laila bris?
Oh, we're going to get to that. That's where I'm trying to go at some point. Right. So that's the question. So now, what's wrong with that conclusion? Maybe in
Achanami. No, the comparison's not good.
Why?
So I never had a chiyuv. See, the baby, the Jewish baby has a chiyuv. So if you don't do it the right way, you mess up.
Okay, so you want to argue.
Never had, good. Had a chiyuv.
So we're going to talk about the Stipler develops this idea. He talks about this idea, whether or not that's really true. What makes something a shame arl? Who says who has an arl or not? Or an arl, we'll call it like that. Yeah, we'll see in a second. But the rush is bothered with, so what's wrong with that? Is there a Gemara somewhere in Shas that says, Noyle Toiches doesn't need a Tavas Dambris? Maybe he does, I don't know. That's a big problem. Well, there's no Gemara anywhere that says explicitly that if you botched the bris and did it too early, that you don't need to do a tafas dan bris. Maybe you do. Says Rosh, I'll bring you a rye. Ve'ena king. It's not true. B'da'oma b'sheli pirik. And there's Gemara later on, which we actually spoke a little bit about. Te'echa de'koydem u'mosh shal Shabbos b'erev Shabbos. Mishnah talks about a case. We have two babies. One baby was supposed to be the Friday bris, and one baby was supposed to be the Shabbos bris. And the Moel switched them around. So the Gemara says, "Shlo yinos the Shabbos litchis." The baby that was gemalt on Friday, which was a day early, there's nothing you can do with it anymore. You can't do anything to this baby on Shabbos. So the question is, now on Shabbos. The question is, why not? Let him do a tafas dan bris on Shabbos.
No, but you never do a tafas
dan bris. Oh, that's, you know too much already. It doesn't say that anywhere.
Only because you told me.
It doesn't say that anywhere. Does it say anywhere that you don't do a tafas dan bris on a baby that was born teiches?
Didn't we call that?
Was by a Neulin Mohol. By a Neulin Mohol. Because a Neulin Mohol is a Suffolk. Right. Suffolk or Lekvusha. But over here, maybe on a regular baby that you know for sure needs a tafas dan bris, maybe it would be a Bechal the Shabbos. We don't know otherwise. So we'll see. We'll talk about it. Says the Rosh, V'oi diger shenoyel kishu mol. When a ger is noyel and mohol, lo yetzar hatafo, v'lo yiplog. It's the end of the Rosh. So what is the Rosh Hashita? The Rosh Hashita is very clear. The Rosh is debating the fact of noyelat toiches. It says in the Torah, you're supposed to do the bris b'yom hashemini. If you did the bris earlier, what do you do now? Do you then go fix it with a tafas dan bris or not? There seems to be no mefurish gemara. We have a roundabout raya. Why? Because the Mishnah says when you have a baby that was born on supposed to have the bris on Friday. I'm sorry, the baby was supposed to have the bris on Shabbos, and you jumped the day and you gave the baby the bris on Friday. So the Mishnah says, "Oh, there's nothing you can do with this baby anymore."
Well, the bris is not a bris unless you have a tafas dan.
Again, the baby was born. You gave the baby the bris on day 7, which was Friday. Now it's
a bris. You didn't do the bris because you didn't have dry blood.
No, you did. You get a regular bris. Yeah. Day 7 was a regular bris. Right? On day 7, you gave this kid a regular bris. Then someone looked at the calendar and realized this baby was supposed to go tomorrow. So the Mishnah says, now there's nothing you can do for this baby. What do you mean? Why can't you? Let's do a tafas dan bris. So the Ritva.
Second, it's not the same thing as Noel Law. There was no tafas dan bris because there was nothing. But here, there was a tafas dan bris.
Oh, here it had a shame oral.
And it had tafas dan bris also.
No, it didn't.
You did the milah.
I'm talking about our creative nuat avos damris. This new halacha that we learned today, that when you do a bris incorrectly, you got to do something. So do you?
Okay, but that's why we're talking about by a nolad mol or by a ger. Okay,
right.
But here, since it was Jewish and he had a real milah only on the wrong day, there was a tavos damris.
No, the question is, wait a second. Is that bris a good bris? The question is a bris on day seven a bris? So let's see the ritva. Talk to ritva number 17.
What are the facts?
The baby was supposed to be born. The baby was supposed to have a milah on Shabbos day 8. He had a regular bris on Friday. Regular bris. The question now is, someone realized, we're a day earlier. What do we do? So the Mishnah says, there's nothing you can do. Now it's Shabbos. Now we realize it's Shabbos. And we realize there's nothing we can do. So the question is, what do you mean, there's nothing you can do? Do I tell us numbers now? Say right now on Shabbos. Says the rabbi, you see from over here, you don't do a tavas dan brits for a baby noila teich shmein.
No, maybe you don't do it on Shabbos.
The ritvar answers that. The simple reading of the Rosh, concludes, and this is his raya, that a baby noila teich shmein doesn't need a tavas dan brits. The question that still needs to be asked is why not? If a tavas dan brits is supposed to be done when a bris is done incorrectly, this baby definitely did have an oral. He had an oral. Why is it not
talks
about
that's
right. That's correct. So that's what the Rishonim are going to fight about. Exactly. If it would be a before Shikamah, it would be easy.
The bris was done correctly. It wasn't done timely.
So that's the question. Is that the same thing as an incorrect bris?
That's what I'm saying. That's already.
No, but the question...
There was no dam bris.
But that was incorrect dam. That wasn't dam mila. That was dam too early.
Okay.
So that's the shah. So the Ritva writes over in Kuflam Zayin, where the Gemara appears, the Ritva says, Mikamet, Aktik Rabbeinu Dehecha Hikta Mamila Doi Bina Tavaz Dan Bris. From this Gemara, they bring a raya, that if you gave the baby a bris too early, you don't need a Tavaz Dan Bris. Midikomra, Hachadolin Shabbos Litchus. The Gemara says, you can't do anything on Shabbos with this baby, it's too late. Why? Viboy Lahatif, Hadin Shabbos Litchus, Gabi Atafu. You should be able to violate the Shabbos to do a Tavaz Dan Bris. Vizan nearly the Enei Raya. Says the Dvar, I don't hear this right whatsoever. Why? The question of when do you figure this out? You didn't figure this out until the Ila Achamila B'Shani Yadu Gamkin, Heichmol Vashedi. If you realize something is off, so then the Teretz is like the Dvar, you only found that after the fact. And if it would have been someone tap you on the shoulder, Shabbos morning, said, you know, you botched it up, yeah, let's do a Tavos Damris right now. You just didn't know yet. So therefore, it's a practical answer.
What do you mean?
You
have two babies that you swapped.
Man, but you still know about the first baby on Shabbos.
You
didn't know it on time.
You didn't?
You're only allowed to do one bris on Shabbos?
No, you only found out about it on Sunday, that the baby didn't get his...
Who said you only found out about it?
That's he's making a kipta.
There's no issue.
Then he's making a kipta. That's his kipta.
Obviously, there's no... He's
making...
You didn't know about it on Shabbos.
He's making a kipta in the Gemara that way. But, this is what I want to get to. B'shem da'atov is dambris lo yidachin on Shabbos. There's no rise up to the ritva. You can't do tavos dambris on Shabbos. Like the Gemara says, Elavade mikan ein raya. So this is where we're going to leave off. We're going to figure out, do we have a raya that mila toiches needs a tavas damris? The Rosh says no. Mila toiches does need a tavas damris. Says before you have absolutely no raya to that. So then we're going to have to figure out if this is true. Where does mila belaila fit in? What's the status of mila belaila? Is a mila belaila like a mila toiches, or a mila belaila significantly different than a mila toiches? The next week we'll deal more about this. This shayla. Okay.